Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is 95.7 The Game.
I'm not sure. This might be the most beautiful day we've had in the calendar so far this year. It is that spectacular out in the gorgeous city of San Francisco, California.
I dialed that up specially for Fleet Week. They asked me if I could do anything, so I'll see what I can. Here you go.
Totally love Fleet Week.
Trains except the traffic
packed.
Part of it.
Yeah, that sucks bad. I was on the train. Trains were packed, but I got on in time to get myself a nice seat. And I'm geared up and excited and ready to roll. I've got some beefs that I'm going to get to today. Part of it had to do with Bart.
I was going to say, surely got some bad for balls related
exactly,
to Bart.
No question about that. That's going to come up later on. But Fleet Week in town, and we thank you for making us part of your Fleet Week Saturday here on 95.7 The Game. Jim Cozumel, Michael Urban, and you. For the next 4 hours, we're going to delve into the wide world of SPORTS and talk about so many fun things your head's going to spin as you watch. Are the Blue Angels going today?
I don't know if it's today. I just know Fleet Week is start. This is the first weekend of it. Does it go from one weekend to the next?
I know this weekend is kind of the big part of it, right?
I just know there's a really cool picture in the paper yesterday. Yes, a newspaper.
What's that?
Is it like a website? It's all online now, yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, but it was a cool picture. It showed the Blue Angels in a practice flight, and it was just the three jets and the top of Coit Tower.
That's awesome.
Which I didn't realize is shaped like a fireman's nozzle. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Because
is that what it is?
Yeah, it was erected. I said erected. Wow. In honor of somebody who has firefighting in their past or in their family or something. And so, yeah, you look at the Coit Tower up close.
Seriously?
It's a
fire hose nozzle. Up close or from far away, though? From far away or up close?
From both.
I know, but wouldn't I have to be far away to really get the good feel for it? No?
Close-up is where you get to see the detail and why it looks like the firehouse. Anyway.
All right. We digress, and we hope you're enjoying Fleet Week because it is a fabulous time here. We hope you enjoyed Warriors this week. JD and Whitey doing a great job because we've got Warriors this week. Then we've got Warriors Weekly probably later on today. Mm. I know on Wednesday with Joe Lo and Dibs, it's Warrior Wednesday.
Right.
And then I think later in the week is What Up Warriors.
Every day is Warriors.
There's some type of Warrior alliteration.
What are we going to call it today, then?
They've already done it. Warriors this week. So every day gets a day.
We have the freedom to go wherever we want, Coach. Where do you want to go?
All right, let's say where we want to go. I'll tell you what. We've got some good guests today, including the great Grant Cohn. Everybody loves him over at the Santa Rosa Press Democrat. I'd like to know what he thinks about the undefeated San Francisco 49ers as they get ready to gear up against the Los Angeles Rams. By the way, you're a longtime Bay Area sports fan.
Yes, sir. Born and raised.
The San Francisco 49ers as a very good team right now, and that's the only way you can describe them, right? One of two undefeated teams left in the NFL versus a very good Los Angeles Rams team. What does that mean to you as a Bay Area fan? Because remember, it used to be the St. Louis Rams and it didn't have the same feel. There was a time when the SF 49ers and LA Rams had some pretty darn good knockdown dragouts.
No, it's been a big rivalry. I mean, anytime you have Southern California, Northern California, it's going to be a rivalry. Even though I think I heard yesterday on Damon Ratto and Kolsky that it's the first time since 1989 that both teams have had a winning record facing each other.
Is that so?
30 years? Now, that's
does that include St. Louis?
No, I don't think it includes. Okay. Only when they're in L.A. Because, in St. Louis, they had some really good teams there, obviously.
Oh, that's cool.
But I don't think right now, look, just the 4-0 Niners, no matter who is playing them, like this doesn't mean any more to me as a Niners fan than any other game because I'm just looking for wins. I'm not yet at that point where I'm picking and choosing opponents that I think are better or worse. It's just I'm enjoying this ride. The Rams are banged up, which is going to make this a little bit closer because obviously the Niners are banged up in a number of areas.
I know, that disappoints me.
I'm just looking. Everybody is the Niners' rival, and everybody is not, if that makes sense.
You're better than me because I am clearly going down the list of who they play, and I've got them at 7-2 through 9 games.
Yeah, you like to play the schedule game.
Yeah, I'm an idiot. I get myself far down the I'm like, oh, my God. Once again, and I'm being pessimistic when I look at their schedule. Mm-hmm. Pessimistic. So I say they lose to the Rams. But through 9 games, I've got them at 7-2.
Okay.
That's not a bad way to go.
I wish I could remember who the guest was we had. Might have been as much as a month ago, probably more than a month ago. And he said that the Niners were going to win. He could see them going 11-1 to start the season. I thought the guy was just crazy. No, it doesn't look so crazy.
No, it doesn't. All of a sudden, you can actually twist your mind around something like that. You know what? I know last year they played, the 49ers and Raiders did. I would love for those teams to play this year. I would love for
those teams would be a good one.
It would be a much better game this time around.
They're both in such a better place.
At this point, you have to tip the cap to what the 49ers are doing. They play the Rams. We will talk to Greg Beecham. He is a reporter with the Associated Press. He covers the Rams, and so we'll get his word.
He's a Bay Area guy too, right?
There you go. Yep. And then Connor Letourneau. Part of the Letourneau Watch family, so this guy's loaded. He's the Warriors beat writer at the Chronicle. Yeah, so he's
family money.
Yeah, family money. So he does this. This is kind of like a hobby for him.
Silver Spoon Connor. Let's get after him for
big timepiece. They're not even watches. Like for where he comes from, they're called timepieces.
I'm jealous.
Yeah. So
why are you wearing a Vassar College sweatshirt?
My wife graduated from Vassar in Poughkeepsie, New York.
Is that where Hillary Clinton went?
No, she did not. Did she go to Marist? That's also in Poughkeepsie, New York.
I don't know.
But my wife went to and graduated from Vassar. I'm wearing a Notre Dame hat because in my mind, I graduated from Notre Dame.
And like the kids, you've left the sticker on the top of the bill.
Do I look younger that way? Do I look younger that way?
No.
No?
All you millennials.
It feels a little bit like a reach.
Yes. You reached on Vassar. Hillary Clinton went to Hillary Rodham Clinton. Went to Wellesley.
That's right.
So know your Clinton history, which I believe she'll be running for president again in a couple of years. So we'll have to get to know her again. So be ready for that. It's 6 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. Michael Urban and Jim Cozumel with you. You want to go down the football road?
Absolutely.
You want to start that way?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you an undefeated 49er believer? Are you sitting back kind of? Do you have your foot not on the brake, but it's between the gas pedal and the brake in a cautionary, I'm not going to get out over my skis stance?
Yeah, that's kind of how I am. I mean, if they lose to the Rams, it'll be a bummer, but it won't be a massive bummer because they're 4-1 through 5 games. That's far better than I thought they would be. I was looking at the first 6 games. I know a lot of people look at it in 4-game quadrants.
Sure, that's what we like to do in the NFL. We take it as 4-game packages, and then we like to see how we do.
Right. Well, me being an outsider, I look at the first 6, and I was thinking 3-3 would be sweet, and that falls right in line with my preseason prediction of 8 wins. I thought you double your total from last year. That's a good season.
You know what? How I know things are really going well for the 49ers? I lose count of the amount of 49ers gear I see people wearing at the gym, on BART, around town, walking in the city. It used to be everyone wore the Warrior gear.
Right.
Everyone had Dubs gear. Let's say 5 miles without seeing a Steph Curry 30 or some version of Warrior flag on a house, bumper sticker, license plate rack, kid in a shirt. Flags in the car. Now it's 49er stuff. I was joking with a buddy at the gym the other day. I was leaving the gym. He was coming into the gym, and he has 49er shirt. And I said, hey, you're pretty brave of you on that 49er shirt. Is that brand new? Did you go over to Costco and get your new shirt?
Right.
And he was getting on me saying, I've had this for years. I've been a Niner fan
now,
for years.
Are you the type of fan that when you see newer gear from a team that's fairly new to winning, you just automatically make the front-runner connection?
Absolutely. I'm first to but, you know, I've got no problem with front-runners. You know what? You've been kicked around long enough. You've had a lot of losing. And if you fell off the bandwagon, it's not your fault. It's their fault. So them winning, you get a chance to go back onto the bandwagon. That's how I look at it. I think they mistreated their fan base. That's my point. Now them winning, fans...
What team are we talking about
now? The 49ers.
Okay,
49ers. So those fans who... And let's face it. We would watch the 49ers, and it was Red Seat Parade. There weren't a lot of fannies out there. Right. You know, and then you hear all of a sudden, by the way, Michael, you know what I know? all of a sudden, those it's not as hot inside Levi's Stadium,
right.
is it?
I didn't hear much of that.
How awful the sun is and how bad it is for fans going to Levi's.
Even though it was like 80-something degrees at kickoff.
Didn't hear a damn word about how awful it was to sit in those seats in the wide-open sunshine.
Because it's a lot more comfortable when your team's winning.
It sure as hell is, man. It sure as hell
is. Especially when you're running roughshod over everybody in the league.
So if you are one of those fans, and I've talked to it seems like thousands of you who are lifelong. My grandparents had season tickets at Kezar family because those are the stories I'm hearing. And you kind of fell off the wagon because you're sick and tired of getting kicked around as a fan. You get to go back on it. I don't think don't let anyone get on you about it, right?
It's just like I don't sweat other people's money. I don't sweat other people's fandom. It's like none of my business. Whatever works for you, works for you. Whatever works for me, works for me. You know what I'm saying?
Unless I can get a good dig in on somebody.
But I do like to, when I rock my gear, especially if I decide to rock some Niners gear while they're playing this well, I will admit I dive as deep as I can into the closet and look for the oldest gear I can have. Like if I can have a hat
that
I can prove was made in the 90s or the 80s and say, look, I've been here all along, that will be my little concession.
You know what? I'll buy that one. I'll give you that one as well. Listen, you can always jump on board, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Are you in the believer category at 4-0, and are they way ahead of where you expected them to be? You can always hit us on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. All right, so we'll get to those in just a couple of seconds. I'm already getting killed on. Why am I getting killed on the text line? I just started the show.
I don't know.
I'm Jimmy Positive today.
I didn't notice
until
you
I get
killed.
To my beefs.
How are you getting killed?
My multiple beefs. Because I'm being accused of being a fan of only one Bay Area team.
Am I not getting the feed? I'm looking at the same thing you are, and all I see is... Geez.
You see the one on the very top?
I'm getting a little bit of Niners is light years better than your trash-ass Raiders, Coz.
Yeah, that's mean-spirited.
That is mean-spirited.
Why can't we...
What's going on with you, 5'10"? Let's talk about it. There's something wrong with you that we
haters.
Out.
Exactly is what they are. So it's Urban and Coz, and we're with you all the way until 5 o'clock today. When we continue, the great Grant Cohn will join us, and we'll get his word on the 4-0 Niners, if they're ahead, if they're a little bit of a mirage. And I think I might have found an area that could be a wart on the 49ers. Is this what teams are going to do to exploit the 49ers to beat them? I think I might have found the wart, but tell me if I'm wrong. Okay? So that's what we're going to do. Quick note on the Rams game, they're without Todd Gurley.
Yep.
I know the 49ers are without very important pieces. Your tackles are gone, your fullback's gone.
Mm-hmm.
That means you're going to be wounded. That's what gets me to my point.
Really big points of their running game, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that also leads to what I think could be the wart. We'll get to that when we continue. Urban and Cozumore with you on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Herbs, what is this musical choice?
The Becoming by Little Brother, I am told by the maestro.
All righty. Good stuff on the Chilton Auto Body text line, because we were telling people about, you know, being the old-time 49er fan. I wear my maroon-colored Gore jersey, so that's cool. That's
that
going old school. Same thing, Herbs, to this day. My favorite jersey that I wear is my white Ronnie Lott jersey, Chad in San Jose.
There you go.
So that's going deep. That's a deep, 80s. Deep dive. That's not bad. That's not bad at all. All right?
I've got a Warriors cap. Remember when they, I don't know who the company is, but it came out with every team and it just said script, cursive writing, just whatever the team name is in their colors. Really kind of a basic hat.
Yeah.
But mine is so frayed and everything. You can tell that it's like, been in my closet, on my head, in my car for like 30 years. Nobody can call me Johnny Come Later.
You didn't buy one of those frayed already hats.
No, I
didn't.
That's
a style, you know.
Yeah, people buy torn jeans.
One guy that a lot of people like to listen to about the 49ers is the great Grant Cohn from over at the Santa Rosa Press Democrat. Grant joins us here on 95.7 The Game. Jim Cozumore, Michael Urban. Grant, what's going on, brother? You geared up for a big Sunday matchup, 49ers-Rams?
Yeah, and it's great to talk to the great Jim Cozumore and the great Michael Irvin.
You guys, you're very kind. But before we get going into the game, I know you're doing something special with the game tomorrow, right? On something
with
called
his dad.
With your dad on something called Hot Mike. What are you going to be doing?
We're announcing the game on a new technology called Hot Mike. If you have an iPhone, you can just download it in the App Store. you need a special invite code. It's CONE10, all caps. And you can listen to me and my dad, the stuff we would talk about privately. You can listen to it publicly on your phone.
Well, you know I love your dad, so I'm going to that game kicks off at what, 125?
105.
105. I'm going to be in L.A. tomorrow, but I'm going to hope to listen to you guys on that. I'm going to get the app, the Hot Mic app, and listen to Grant and Lowell Cohn with their special comments, because I'm sure you guys are pretty biting in some of your comments, aren't you?
You know, I think we're a little bit more generous than you would expect. And you have done a Hot Mic broadcast as well, haven't you, Jim?
I did a... I helped them before they actually launched. I did what they'd call, I guess, a practice game for them to make sure the technology worked.
What'd you think?
Oh, I thought it was pretty fun. I can't believe the fun you have doing the game, because it's you know, you do a kind of a semi-traditional call, but you get to be a fan. It's as if you're doing a podcast watching a live game.
Yeah, that's what I like about it, and I think that's what listeners will like about it, and I think it's kind of like the future of broadcasting, because I think the normal way that we've gotten accustomed to the last 50, 60 years is it's nice, but it's a little tired.
Yeah. All right.
So this is father and son basically doing Beavis and Butthead.
Exactly, with a lot of giggling and smoking weed.
Nice. Looking forward to that.
Wow.
Well, your dad is my dad's hero, man. When I introduced them at AT&T Park years back, my dad like turned into a little kid again.
Well, that's cool. You know, my dad's my hero, too.
There you go. Nice.
All right. As I finish my lunch, let's talk 49ers. 4-0 start. Are they a real 4-0, or are they a little out over their skis? Where do you gauge this team through a quarter of the games played?
Yeah, I don't think they're a real 4-0, but that's not taking anything away. It's just looking at the teams they've beaten. They've really shown they can dominate the AFC North and one team in the NFC South. Nothing against the 49ers. You only play the teams on your schedule. But if they beat the Rams tomorrow, given all the things working against the 49ers, all the injuries, a short week, having to travel, I think it would be an extraordinary accomplishment and a franchise-altering win. I think they're underdogs, but they certainly can win. And if they do win, then they're not only a playoff contender, but they're a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, Grant, it seems like after each one of these wins, a certain segment of the fan population or non-fan population wants to point out why it's not that big of a deal that they won that game. They'll point out all the deficiencies of the team that they just vanquished. Is that going to happen if they beat the Rams, because the Rams are banged up themselves without Gurley or, you know, some star players? Now, obviously, the Niners have some guys dinged out, too. Does that even things out?
I think it more than even things out. I think the Niners have the Rams have the upper hand in this matchup, because the Niners are missing two starting tackles, a fullback, a slot receiver, and more. I think that the way I look at this game is if the Niners can figure out a way to pull this one off with a short week, all that's working against them, you would have to start saying things like Kyle Shanahan's a better coach than Sean McVay, like Robert Saleh's the best defensive coordinator in the league. I think they're on the verge of that type of a statement game.
Hey, let's focus as we continue here with Grant Cohn on 95.7 The Game. You brought up Robert Saleh's name, and if you go back to last year, near the end of the year, there were calls for his head, that Shanahan had to shake up the staff, that Saleh doesn't know how to call defensive plays, that he couldn't get his defenses prepared. All of a sudden, the defense plays well, and no one says boo about Saleh. Are we seeing a real, now a Robert Saleh coach defense now that he has the weapons to put into action?
No question about it. I mean, it's not like he's just running a vanilla defense and letting Nick Bosa and Dee Ford and DeForest Buckner and Eric Armstead do all the work, rushing straight ahead. He's really calling exotic blitzes on third down, which have the entire league on notice. I mean, Richard Sherman was gushing on and on at his locker this week about one particular blitz Robert Saleh called in the first quarter against the Browns, where he lined up Dee Ford and Buckner on the same side and brought the blitz from the other side of the line and pretty much guaranteed the sack and predicted how the Browns would try to protect it. The way I look at it is, now that he has a pass rush, you can really see what he's trying to do, and he's as good as any defensive coordinator in the league. I'm not talking about guys who are also head coaches like Pete Carroll and Bill Belichick, but just defensive coordinators. He's up there with Todd Bowles and Wade Phillips and Gus Bradley, and I expect the Niners' defense is going to give the Rams major, major problems tomorrow.
Now, we know that with Joe Staley out, the line is missing their their most important veteran, I would say. I don't know that he's their best lineman right now because McGlinchey's awfully good. But with Staley out, how much does that affect the offensive line's like continuity? You got School in there. He's a young buck, and he's actually played pretty well. Is that kind of mitigated the loss of him?
No question. I mean, School has done pretty well. He's a good run blocker. And the thing that's nice about the 49ers is they've been able to run the ball 40 times a game. They've been able to run for 200 yards a game. So there's very few plays on a Sunday where the defense absolutely knows they get to pin their ears back and rush the quarterback against the 49ers. Maybe there's four or five of those plays again a game, and give School credit. He's done well in those three or four, five plays per game, and also give Kyle Shanahan credit for scheming up quick passes, short passes. I think that they're really going to have to do that tomorrow because not only are they missing their left tackle, they're now missing their right tackle too. Mike McGlinchey's out 4 to 6 weeks after having a knee scope. I think when they get in those obvious passing downs, the Niners can't get greedy. They may not even want to throw past the sticks. They're going to need to throw as many screen passes as possible and keep Jimmy Garoppolo healthy because the season's just getting started.
And not only that, they're missing the fullback as well, and that's a big piece to your running game on top of that as we continue with Grant Cohn on 95.7 The Game. And let's stay with that thought because I think one of the warts that could be in the 49ers is that when they are in circumstances like they're going to be in tomorrow, I'm not sure we know if Jimmy Garoppolo can win you games. Why wouldn't the Rams just stack the line, force the 49ers to throw the ball and see if Garoppolo can win games for them? Listen, the 49ers are a little exposed in that teams now have four games of tape on them. They see how well they run the football, and the Rams' defense is going to be able to prepare for that.
That's exactly what the Rams are going to do. They're going to stack the box, and the Niners aren't going to be able to dictate the run game without Kyle Juszczyk. They're going to have to pass more than they would like to, and it's not just Jimmy Garoppolo who's the issue. I've been critical of Jimmy Garoppolo, and he has areas to improve. I mean, he hasn't even started 16 games yet, but really the issue is on the offensive line, the two tackles, and wide receiver, where there are no significant injuries other than Trent Taylor and the rookie Jalen Hurd. The issue at wide receiver, that's the biggest issue. Jimmy really doesn't have anyone he really, really loves throwing to. He'll throw it to Kittle a little bit. He'll spread it around to the running backs, but he doesn't trust Dante Pettis, and he hasn't developed that much trust in Deebo Samuel yet, which is understandable because Debo's a rookie. Really, I think this season is going to come down to Dante Pettis. If the Niners are a Super Bowl contender, they're going to need one at least good wide receiver, not a dominant one, but a good one. They don't have one yet, and to me, it has to be him. You can't count on Goodwin to become a number one receiver because he's a vet, and he's not that. He's a number three. Deebo Samuel's a rookie. Anything you get from him is gravy. They need Dante Pettis to step up and start believing in himself again. We know he can play. He just seems to have lost confidence, and I think part of that is trying to build chemistry with Jimmy Garoppolo. It really didn't happen in training camp, and I think maybe he's a little bit in Jimmy's doghouse right now.
Grant, you say that there hasn't been much of a connection between Garoppolo and Pettis. You feel like there's some distrust there. Can you expand on that just a little bit? What makes you think that Garoppolo doesn't trust him?
Well, you go back and look at the drop that Dante Pettis had on Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say his second target of the game. It was a perfectly thrown pass. It could have been a touchdown. After he drops it, camera cuts right to Jimmy Garoppolo, and you can see him mouth every freaking time, every bleeping time. And if you had been at training camp,
wow.
This goes back. This goes back to about July. Now, in OTAs and minicamp, Dante Pettis was terrific. He was in shape. He was playing with C.J. Beathard and Nick Mullins, and those guys all have played together a lot. Now, Garoppolo comes back for training camp, and what Shanahan said is Dante Pettis really wasn't in shape. He hadn't kept up with lifting, and for whatever reason, whenever Jimmy Garoppolo threw to Dante Pettis, which was a lot, they were really trying to speed up that chemistry process and force-feed the ball to Dante Pettis. They had him sort of pegged as their number one receiver. Most of the time when Jimmy threw him the ball, it was incomplete. I tracked the stats for the entire 2 weeks of training camp. The completion percentage thrown to Dante was like 37%. So they tried. It didn't work. And Jimmy got really frustrated to the point where when the incompletions would happen, he would kind of show up Dante Pettis on the practice field. You know, like not like Eli Manning and Drew Brees who clap their hands and say, let's move on to the next play. It was Jimmy sort of being like, you know, yelling, pointing out to the players, the media, the fans, like, this is Dante's fault. And I feel like Dante hasn't really shown the personality to bounce back and persevere. He needs to do it right now.
Grant, I'm going to give you good Saturday sports talk fodder right here.
Okay.
Go back a little over a year, and John Lynch had the audacity, the guts, to pick up the phone and call Bill Belichick and ask about Jimmy Garoppolo and got him for a second rounder. What would you say to John Lynch picking up the phone, calling the Minnesota Vikings and saying, hey, you got a wide receiver who's pretty damn unhappy in Stephon Diggs. Let's figure out a way to get him over here to the Bay Area.
Ooh, that's a really interesting question. The problem with the Niners, the reason they haven't been able to make a trade, is they already traded their second-round pick next year for Dee Ford. So you're in the position where now you're going to trade a first-round pick, you're going to have nothing in April, and your fans are going to be upset. That's one thing. But also, the Niners don't have a ton of cap space like they used to. I mean, think about all the young guys they're going to have to pay in a year or two. They're going to have to pay Kittle. They're going to have to pay DeForest Buckner. They're going to have to pay Akello Witherspoon. I don't know if people really realize it, but that guy was by far the 49ers' best cornerback the first three games, by far. Way better than Richard Sherman. Nothing against Richard Sherman. He's 31. He has a surgically repaired Achilles. Akello Witherspoon is a legit number one corner. They're going to give him a lot of money. So they have a lot of future second contracts earmarked for specific young players. I don't know how much future cap space they have to give to a guy like Jalen Ramsey or Stephon Diggs or anyone you can name.
Grant, there's been a lot of Niners who've been pleasant surprises this year. Who's the biggest to you?
The biggest pleasant surprise on the 49ers, got to be Akello Witherspoon. I wrote him off entirely. I really questioned the 49ers for not getting more competition at that spot. The only guy they brought in is Jason Verrett, who's missed the last three seasons and is on IR right now. I thought that was gross negligence on the 49ers' part, and basically what Robert Saleh in particular has said all offseason is, trust me, trust me, trust me, trust me. I know what I'm doing. I know this guy is good, and he was right. That's the theme that I've noticed with Robert Saleh so far this year, is he's batting 1,000. Every single thing he said that is going to happen this year is coming true. Every player he believed in, Jimmy Ward, DeQuasti Tart, Akello Witherspoon, is making him look like a genius. This guy is on one heck of a heater.
I'll tell you something. A lot of people wanted his head on a platter the last couple of years, especially last year. There's one.
Hire him and take John Fox. I have to admit that I – and he knows it, too. He actually kids me sometimes, like, hey, you still think they should fire me and bring John Fox?
Wow.
You know they're paying attention, buddy.
That's right. You were right. I was wrong.
Oh, man, that's good. That's good news. At least you got a rapport with him like that, and good on him. You know what? He gets a chance to throw the chest out a little bit. Things are going well. All right, Grant, you and your dad have a great time calling the game tomorrow on Hot Mic. It's a great app, and they'll have a lot of fun listening to you guys. So it's an alternative way to enjoy the 49er game. It should be a lot of fun.
Grant, tell them again real quick how they can get you guys tomorrow.
If you have an iPhone, go to the App Store, download Hot Mic. You need an invite code. It's CONE10. C-O-H-N 10, all caps. That's all you need.
I believe it's Hot, H-O-T, Mike, M-I-C, because if you do the Hot Mike, M-I-K-E, it's a little bit different app.
Thank you so much.
You're absolutely right.
It's been a pleasure being on with you guys today.
All right, buddy. Take care. Say hi to your dad.
Will do.
See you, buddy.
Thanks, Grant.
Grant Cohn. All right, here's the deal. We got into a little bit about what I teased going into that previous break.
You know, if you type in Hot Mike, spell it like Mike, Mike, you just get boudoir pictures of me.
I know. That's so, what I mean. It's an app now, too.
Be afraid.
It's an app now, too.
Be very afraid.
So that could be the way you spend your Saturday night.
Hey, now.
Maybe you view that during the 49er game. Talk about double your pleasure.
I do love me some me.
Now, who doesn't? I said, you know, the 49ers at 4-0, I think I've spotted their weakness, the 49ers' offensive weakness. With the two tackles being gone, with the tight end being banged up, with the fullback being out, my question is anyone convinced that Jimmy Garoppolo can win you a football game? Are you convinced right now that number 10 wins you games? Or is he, I dare say, a game manager?
Well, it's an interesting breakdown of the phrase game manager. We talked about this last week, Whitey and I did, and so I'd like to get your thoughts on it. It's largely viewed as, when you say he's a game manager, it's kind of a negative thing, right?
It is.
But when you get labeled a game manager, it's usually quarterbacks whose teams have succeeded, but the quarterback, you know, wasn't flashy or anything.
Right. He's not throwing 400-yard games.
So it should be a compliment. Have you ever seen a flat-out bad quarterback called a game manager? No.
It's a way to
label those quarterbacks that aren't like transcendent talents that can't just absolutely take over a game all by themselves. Do we know if Garoppolo has that in him? We saw a little bit in that 5-0 start a couple of years ago.
Yep.
So I'm willing to say, yeah, I think he can. I don't know that he can. If he's just going to be a game manager, hey, keep on managing those games, Jimmy. You haven't managed a loss yet.
Exactly. You have. But in the circumstance they're facing tomorrow, a Rams defense, which is much more stout, and an offense that is banged up, are you as confident that number 10 can wield a little bit of magic and move you down the field? Because, you know, as Grant Cohn said, and I think all of us know, Rams are going to stack the box. They're going to try to see if Jimmy Garoppolo can beat him. And they're going to test that groin of Mr. Kittle. George Kittle, sure. Who's on my fantasy team.
Yep.
And better come
good
through.
Good for you.
I know. Well, no, it's not. Because I've got Breida on my team and I sat him last week.
That's a problem.
That is a problem. It's a big, fat, stinking problem. Which
all
is,
the other backs get the yards, and then Wilson comes in and gets the touchdown.
Yeah, except Breida was on fire on Monday night. Yeah. Regardless, with the way the equation is going for this game, I'm not sure I'm convinced Jimmy G is going to be the guy who's going to keep him in the game.
Yeah, I think that's a harder question to answer when you have your two tackles being out.
Right,
I think that's the thing. If they were at full strength, I would probably
be more confident.
I'd be a lot more confident.
Okay.
Like now, if he pulls it off without those tackles and fullback, then I'd be like, wow, that's something I didn't know he had. And I think it's fair for fans to question whether or not he can be that guy to win a game by himself. But, I mean, think about it, Coz. In the NFL, does ever one player win a game by himself? Very, very rarely.
No, but there is one player who
can
move you and change the way you play. And the 49ers have seen it at quarterback because we still think about number 16 and we still think about number 8, right? And until very recently, we were thinking about the backup quarterback as maybe the guy who could do things. Remember when Jimmy Garoppolo threw 5 straight interceptions in that scrimmage preseason?
Uh-huh.
And then he played the game and he threw the pick and he was, what, 1 for 6 and with an interception?
Terrible.
We were thinking about the backup quarterback at that point, right?
Some of you were.
You weren't, huh? You weren't on that.
Nah, Nick Mullins, come on.
But the question is, oh, I'll give you a new one then. Who would you rather have, Jimmy Garoppolo or Jared Goff?
Oof.
That's a tough one, isn't it?
Well, because Goff's got more than a full season under his belt.
Yep, and he's got weapons.
Yeah.
See, I used to think that they won despite Jared Goff. Got pretty good arm talent.
You put Goff in a Niner uniform, I think they're having the same, if not greater level of success.
Well, that's what I mean. So if you have Goff, let's say you give Goff tomorrow's assignment, go up against the Rams with your two tackles out and your tight end banged up and your fullback out, you might still feel a little bit better with Jared Goff as your guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. What does Goff do well that we know Garoppolo can't? I don't know that there's anything we can identify this early, is there?
What is Jared Goff
flat out better than Jimmy at?
He's better at throwing touchdown passes.
Yeah.
He's better. And this is going to get tested. They could probably do this exact same conversation down in LA Sports Talk Radio looking at this game because they're not going to have Gurley. So you know the defense is going to have a different view. The 49er defense is going to have a different look at what to do against this Rams offense.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if they're sitting back there going, well, now that he doesn't have the threat of a running back, is Jared Goff good enough to win games for the Rams?
But isn't that kind of forgetting the success the Rams had when they moved in, what, was it C.J. Anderson? Or was it C.J. Anderson?
Yes, it was C.J. Anderson.
They plugged in a back
who was virtually retired.
Right.
Right?
And he had pretty good success in the postseason for the Rams. So I don't know that, look, nobody's doubting that Todd Gurley is world-class talent. But I think that system there, and again, I mean, it's the same thing if you're talking about the Niners. It's all about the system. Both teams, both franchises, both fan bases, I think, have trust that you can just plug guys in and the system will do what it does.
How would you feel about being 5-0 and knowing that the Rams are 3-3 through 6 weeks of the NFL season?
I'd feel like I was dreaming if I'm part of the Niners, yeah.
Yeah, like you wouldn't have taken that bet at any point in the preseason.
No way.
At all.
Mm-mm.
And Nash Soliman, who is our producer today, has done a good job to say the 49ers. I've been saying the 49ers could be this year's version of what the Rams were 2 years ago and what the Bears were last year. They went from obscurity and jumped into everyone's consciousness. Rams did it 2 years ago. Last year, they get into the Super Bowl. Bears did it last year, jumped out there with a smart offensive-minded coach, some good weapons around him, and a pretty darn good defense. Well, the 49ers defense is better than we had thought it was going to be.
Oh, they're great.
They're really, really solid. And we haven't been able to say that since Harbaugh was here and since you had the Smiths going at it.
And if they're similarly effective tomorrow, then we'll really be able to say it. Because, again, like I said to Grant when we talked to him earlier, all four of the opponents that they've vanquished thus far, you could poke holes in that win and say, it's not that impressive of a win. But even without Gurley, I think beating this Rams team would be very impressive.
But they have vanquished. You're like a superhero writer.
Yeah.
That's cool. But Nash Solomon points out that the 2017 Rams were the surprise team. They went from 4-12 to 11-5. The 49ers are trending in that direction. 4-12 last year and a perfect start so far this year. A lot of football to play. The reality of the NFL is starting to take effect, isn't it? The number of injuries we're seeing are starting to take effect. But they're not getting a ton of injuries on defense, which can keep you in games.
Right.
Is that fair enough? Typically, wouldn't you go into the game on Sunday without all those pieces to your offense and start to go, oh man, it's gonna be a long Sunday. I don't think I go into that feeling because of the guys on the other side of the because of the defense.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. They have not been able to say, you know what, we're just gonna if the offense just does the bare minimum, the defense will take us the rest of the way. And I mean, look at Nick Bosa, that guy in four games. The rest of the league is already a believer in Nick Bosa. I mean, you got guys. Yeah. It's really hard, especially for an edge rusher to come in. There's so many great edge rushers in the league and earn that universal respect right off the bat. Boy, you don't hear anyone saying a single thing derogatory about Nick Bosa.
Was Monday night his national coming out party?
Absolutely.
At what he did as a game wrecker on Monday Night Football against Baker Mayfield, who's a poster child for the NFL right now.
Yeah.
And you know, I kind of like what he did after he had the sack and he did the whole.
I
think that was cool.
Yeah.
But I like histrionics.
Right, me too.
Right? To a point. But that point I like. I like when guys fake that they're hitting a home run after they get a sack, whatever it is.
Right.
But I thought it was cool. But that's the national coming out party. But with that means it has to continue.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do it against the Rams team that many expect to be a playoff team and a deep playoff team, and they got to the Super Bowl last year, that just writes your story even more.
Yeah, on Tuesday, I was talking about the game with a friend of mine. He said, the problem with Bosa doing what he did is that now everybody, we're not going to be able to sneak up on anyone. I'm like, dude, nobody was sneaking up on anyone with Nick Bosa. He's a number two pick in the draft. And you've got guys, there's a 12-year veteran who had, can't come up with a name. He's got 8 Pro Bowl appearances. And he said, I think he was on one of the teams that played the Niners in the preseason or had just brief interaction with Bosa, and he said already Bosa's hands are the best hands he's ever gone up against in the NFL. We're talking about a 21-year-old rookie.
And who didn't play a lot of college football.
And literally hand-to-hand combat is what he's talking about. And oftentimes we don't think of a defensive lineman's hands, you know, the swim move and all that.
Sure.
It's arms, it's hips, it's legs. But he said he does something with his hands that he's never, the lineman said, I've never quite seen before. It's hard to describe. It's impossible to beat.
Well, there you go. You got a young guy who's got that kind of ability and talent, and he's using it at the highest of levels, and we'll see if he can continue to do it against the Rams. But you got guys, not only him, not only Bosa, because what he's doing is pretty darn phenomenal. When I listen to people who have studied it all the time, and I have not seen every minute of every 49er game, but I've always been a fan of yet questioned Eric Armstead.
Yep.
This is his money year.
Yeah.
He seems to be performing this year.
Yep.
He's playing like they had hoped he would play when they took him as they almost called him a red shirt when they took him in the first round a couple of years ago from Oregon. But do you think he's answering the bell?
Yeah, I do. I think, look, and I think Bosa is helping a lot of the, I mean, look, Solomon is looking a little bit better too, right? He's been an easy guy to pick on, and it just seems like Bosa's presence, I don't know if it frees up mental pressure for them, and so they're playing with a little bit more, you know, freedom and just letting it go as opposed to overthinking everything. But look, I'm just so thrilled that their biggest weakness, I thought, last year was the edge rush. I mean, I'm not, you know, don't stop the presses. I'm not breaking any news here. But to go from having that be one of the serious problems on your football team to being not only one of your strengths, but one of the stronger units in the league, Salah's got to get a lot of credit for that.
Nick Bosa and company, a force to be reckoned with. We're going to take a closer look at the defense when we continue. Urban and Cozumel with you on a Saturday afternoon. Fleet Week, you're having some fun
looking
at everybody downtown and enjoying the gorgeous weather that we have in San Francisco. Hit us up on the phones, 888-957-9570, or you can always get us on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 957-9570. Quick timeout. When we continue, more 49ers as they prepare for the Rams on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Wow. I know I haven't been in the studio in a while, There's no Urban and Cozumel. Back to Michael Urban and Jim Cozumel. Back to Urban and Cozumel. They don't have that. It's like I'm not even on the team anymore.
We get the generic bring back?
Yeah, I get the always. You work with me, you get the generic bring back.
That's all right.
There's never like a tittle in Cozumel.
But that way we can sneak up on him. About 5 o'clock, they're like, wow, that was a damn good show.
That's all you're right.
Didn't expect that from Cozumel Herb.
That I hear a lot.
Right.
That I hear a lot. I don't think they can do it. I hear that a lot. Monday, our next Warriors broadcast comes to you. Make sure you listen in all preseason long. Then we'll get you to the regular season, which starts on the 23rd, 22nd, 24th. Right in there. 23rd, 4th, 20. I think it's the 23rd. Like I said, it's the 24th of October it begins with regular season Warriors basketball right here on your home for the Golden State Warriors. 95-7 the game, and it's against the Los Angeles Clippers. And is that the Chase Center curtain raiser? Is that what that is?
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
How do I feel about it?
About it being the Clippers.
It's a tough way to open your building. It's kind of hoping they'd get a, I don't know.
Yeah, like, you know how you schedule kind of an easy mark during your homecoming game?
Like the Phoenix Suns.
There you go.
I'm kind of hoping for a Phoenix Suns opener.
Or even the Kings would have been great.
They
played four very competitive basketball games last year.
Yes.
And the Kings are one of those teams that's kind of seen as on the rise. So bring them in. It's not a rollover opponent, but it's also not a team that you think should probably win the game, which if we're looking at the opener, I think the Clippers should win that game. I'd be surprised if they weren't favored.
And maybe just the fact that it's the fall to roll of the home opener in the new building.
Right.
And the attention it is going to garner. And hopefully the Clippers might have some jitters. There's so much expected of an organization that has never, ever paid anything off. Now you're an elite team. Not every team answers that bell immediately. Go back to when the Warriors were the elite team. Does anyone remember that Spurs opener that they had at Oracle Arena when San Antonio came in and waxed the hell out of them?
Wasn't that Durant's debut?
It might have been Durant's debut after the Warriors win a championship.
Yeah.
They raise the banner. They get Kevin Durant, and they get waxed by the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, absolutely smoked. That was not a fun night.
You don't know what's going to you don't know what Clippers team is going to emerge when the season begins.
And we don't even know what Warriors team is going to be on the floor when the season begins. They've got some interesting roster decisions.
You know, I know I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, but I can make a case for the Warriors being a playoff team. And I can make a case for the Warriors tanking the season and getting a high number one pick. And then getting Klay back full time.
I'd be shocked if they didn't make the playoffs.
I agree. That's the stronger of my cases. But God forbid something stupid happens in December that Steph rolls an ankle, or God forbid something happens to Draymond, because those are the two real pieces.
Sure.
But I can make a case for them tanking the season, not a purposeful tank like we saw the Philadelphia 76ers do, but a tanking by circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
They get a high pick in the next draft. They get everybody coming back, and they really start the Dynasty Part 2.
Right.
Because I think Dynasty Part 1, we've taken the 5 years and kind of put it into a little compartment. We've put it on the shelf. That was the most wonderful stretch of 5 years.
The Oracle
basketball
era.
Yeah. It's in its own category.
Right.
Now, the next time it happens,
so
it's
this is the
be
pause button.
Two.
This year is the pause button of
I
the Dynasty.
I kind of think it is. And even if they do make the playoffs, which I expect them to, I expect them to be a bottom four of the eight.
Okay.
Either 5, 6, 7, or 8. This is going to be that buffer year. This is the one that's going to take you kind of through. It's like when the Bulls won 3, Michael left. Then there were those 2 years. They got to a conference final once. They got to the second round once when there was a bad call that went against them. But then Michael's back and ready to go. You thought the mantle had been passed to Orlando because they had Shaq and Penny, and Horace Grant went off to play with them. But then Michael came back for round 2 of dominance.
Right.
I think we're waiting to see part 2 of Dynasty Chase Center edition.
And if this is just a 1 year of pause, then it's a great year because you are opening that new arena. There's just some inherent excitement just in their new arena.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no question about that. I also think it could be a year. And we have seen a lot of greatness in the Warriors in those 5 years. This could be a fun, off-the-charts Steph Curry year.
Yeah.
You know, we saw him go for 40 the other night. Right?
Get used to it.
Okay, 40 in a preseason game. He doesn't have to go for 40. But I think we could see one of those years where it's Steve Kerr just kind of unleashes him. Yeah. Says, all right, you don't have the collar on you. You always have the green light. But there were so many weapons in the past. There's Clay. There's KD. There's Draymond. There were so many weapons he didn't have to get 40.
Right.
Now I think I kind of hope that there are some stretches where it's just like, go. Ball's on the floor. Go for it.
Sure.
And I'd have a lot of fun.
I think the fact that he went for 40 in a preseason game, I think there's a lot of people out there that think because there's no Durant, because Clay's not there, because they're missing Iguodala and all these guys that we've said goodbye to, Livingston, that Curry is now going to get a bulk of the attention rather than just being one of the guys who gets a ton of attention. He's going to get almost all of the defensive attention.
Yeah.
Can he still bust out with a 40-point game given that? He found out last night that, yes, he could, but I think if the Warriors don't make the playoffs, then we got to start looking at are they really as good at identifying and developing talent. We know what they can do with proven products, right? But there's yet to be a team that was led by unprovens. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe you could have said that about the first year of the championship run when Draymond was still a little bit of an unknown and even Clay back then wasn't getting the love that he gets now. There's nobody else that you really have to look at unless you consider D'Angelo Russell to pay a ton of attention to offensively. And I think even though Steph is going to get that attention, they're going to need him to go for games like 40 points on a fairly regular basis.
I'm going to need it just for the attention span. I will be honest. I will sit and watch him score 40.
Yeah.
You know, I will keep score at home. Thank you to the text line. The Chilton Autobody text line corrected us on this one. It was after they lost to the Cavs that they got Durant.
Right.
Right. They beat Oklahoma City. They lost to Cleveland. They didn't raise the banner. They had Durant, and it looked like it was dynasty time again, and San Antonio came in and wiped him out.
They waxed the Warriors in Durant's first game as a Warrior, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's
I think that's what we're
saying. Even if they didn't, I think it's a good story to tell.
Sure.
Just to have people think about
it. Don't let the facts get in the way.
Yeah, we'll get to more Warriors a little bit later on. I know we're going to have Connor Letourneau on in the 3 o'clock hour, so we'll break down some Warriors I because there are some interesting storylines for the Warriors this year and some interesting pieces who are trying to resurrect their careers, former first-round picks who are on the roster, who it's going to be a big year for those kind of players, and we'll get into that a little bit later on. Urban and Cozumel with you, 95-7 the game. Let's get back into the 49ers, and we were talking about the defense. They get the Rams tomorrow. I'm excited about that game. I'm excited about listening to Joe Shasky and Bonte. Because those guys go crazy on their pre and post-game show. My voice hurts listening to them. That's how crazy they get. If they win tomorrow, I do believe Butcher Boy's head will explode on the air.
It just might.
I also think if they lose, it will be wrist-slitting time. Like he's on that edge.
Yeah.
He's on the edge of, I'm about to buy my Super Bowl tickets to, I'm about to slip my wrist. I can't believe they're losing like this.
He has already pretty much appointed Nick Bosa. He's given him a spot in Canton. He's already said
he's got his bust. Does he have his V's? He's in his garage.
Four games in.
He's in his garage.
I want to go back to the playoffs!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.